back again. Back again, and I'm glad to be back. I want to start off by saying, let us become sharper. And my name is CJ. This is the Let Us Become Sharper / TNS podcast. Rolling solo today. I got a phenomenal team. I got Shay Wills. I got Nina. These are the regular co-hosts. We got Reno. And we want to give a shout out to Duran out there in Bel Air, California. Came in and went on the topic, The Gift. Check out The Gift. I got the link up for that. So you can go back and review the topic. If someone wanted to give you a gift that was to a high level and you know you didn't deserve it, would you accept the gift or not? That was our last show. That was our last topic. And you can smoke that one over. Think about it. Talk about it amongst yourselves. What I found was when we were watching the podcast, you know, review at the shop, or we was actually over one of my partner's crib and we were watching the podcast on, you know, screen or whatever. It's hard to even get through the episode without people giving their opinion about. First thing that people said was, there's no possible scenario that I could be in where I didn't deserve the gift. So that was on and on. That was going on and on. People were saying, you know, well, I'm deserving of it. Mostly the women, you know, men too. Well, I deserve it. I deserve the gift. He said, well, you know, the topic was if you didn't deserve it. And you know, once again, and you know when you don't deserve something. But anyway, a lot of people, you know, took the gift. And quite a few, I think Shay said that she wouldn't take the gift. A few people said that they wouldn't. But for the most part, y'all out there taking those gifts that you don't deserve. So I wanted to come in tonight and talk over with you about the game a little bit. What I want to do, I want to share, you know, we want to talk about the part, you know, like many flowing waters, we have the part of the culture, you know, my part of the culture, your part of the culture, you know, and I'd like to thank you in advance for supporting my part of the culture, you know. When we're talking about that, when we talk about my part of the culture is an atmosphere of excellence, you know, atmosphere and an aura of excellence. And when people say support my part of the culture, you know, I think we all have our own stake in the culture that we're a part of, whether it be this culture or that one. We all have a part of our own culture, and we all have a part of global culture. But my part specifically was always geared around the atmosphere and the aura of excellence. You know, that was always the thing. You know, what many years ago, when I was coming up, you know, on California Street, I would have people come by from school or what have you. And I was trying to build, you know, in my mind, you know, you're always trying to build an empire, or you're always trying to find a way to generate income, some money. And a lot of people had, you know, their part of the culture, maybe they had the first summer job, or they had the first job, or, you know, however. You know, I'm old enough where, show my age a little bit, I'm old enough where they were even shoveling snow. They were shoveling snow, cutting grass, raking leaves, things of that nature to generate some money to go to the mall, to buy shoes, to buy clothes, to go to the movies, things of that nature, to go to Cedar Point, for example. And those are the times where, while that was there, experience in the culture, my experience was a little different. You know, my part of the culture went this way. So coming up, you know, I started cutting hair very young and developed a trade, and actually was beginning to hone that craft and learn more about barbering, growing into the shoes of one who was an early entrepreneur. And coming up, I kept the atmosphere of excellence and an aura of excellence. People would come by and I'd go upstairs. Now, I didn't do this alone, but this is what I did. I go upstairs and me and my my beautiful, phenomenal old lady, my old lady, we sit in there in the kitchen. And, you know, her motherly love was, you know, beyond measure. It was phenomenal. And she showed me something. That's why I always talk about my phenomenal women. She gave me one of the tips and one of the keys to the game very young. And I created my atmosphere this way. So we would make a turkey sandwich with, a little mustard, little mayo, whatever. What did we put on that? Lettuce. That was a plus. Lettuce. Cheese on it. And she would prepare several of these sandwiches. And she would cut them like in a way like I can cut them that way as well. But she would cut them in a way where they would be bite sized and she put them on a tray. And then we had Lay's chips, like little small bags, individual bags, and lemonade. And the people who came by to get their haircut by me would actually enjoy the hors d'oeuvres, finger food. I would take the sandwiches and the chips and the lemonade to the basement, and they would indulge and enjoy while they waited these sandwiches, chips, and lemonade. So that was back in the day, but that was just one part, you know, one testimony to my part of the culture. Always creating an atmosphere and an aura of excellence. So here lately, just been, I've been going through some things, some very serious issues, but I've activated the G code, and people have been saying, you know, the G code, that's a term that you may or may not have heard, but the G code is activated. And you know what that is that's just something that we used in the culture. We operated by the G code, keeping a G. And that's where I've been. That's where I'm at right now. Keeping it G, sticking to the G code, got it activated, and just reminiscing, you know, the times, you know, giving examples and scenarios of the G code many, many years ago. Once again, like you say, my part of this culture was at the shop. So one day I was at the shop and I had to go to the bathroom, and I purchased a pair of liners that were black and gold blaze on them, gold screws. They were limited edition. The manufacturers, the Clipper Corporations actually manufacture limited edition tools in specific black with gold trim. And that kind of boosts the status and the morale of that particular corporation, which Andy's being one of them. They manufactured the all black liners with the gold blades, actually. If you know. I had a pair of those. I threw them in my drawer. And I guess I had to get back to them. I don't know. But I did eventually get back to them. And, you know, I put them together and I used them, and they were like flawless, like perfect. I mean, just like above average. I mean, just like they was just that deal. So, you know, doing my thing, you know, I would always draw a crowd. At any given time, it's 10, 15 people waiting on me. And I had to go to the bathroom. So this particular day, I had cleared out my clientele, you know, went to the bathroom, take a break, come back, and the liners were gone. Gone. Somebody in the show, you know, I worked in the conventional barbershop with other barbers. And after cutting all those heads and after that crowd, you know, after the crowd dispersed and I just, you know, go do my little break, come back, somebody stole the liners from me because I had become too powerful in the game. They stole the liners. Now, this is what G code activated means. Right at that very moment, I activated the G code before I even knew it, before I even had a term for it. I activated my G code. I noticed that they were gone, and I went right on to the next liner, and I never said a word. You never would have known that I had just had these limited edition black liners with gold blades taken from me. But I would never give the person, the lowlife loser, the scum bag that stole those liners, the pleasure to see me react, to see me upset, to see me yelling and screaming and breaking things and knocking stuff over and getting out of character, want to fight, want to kill over a material item. So I activated the G code. Forget them liners. I'll buy another. Laugh at you. And to this day, when I activate the G code, I laugh at you. I told you. Let us become sharper is the words, is the mantra, is the credo. So I laugh at you because I know that that's all you're able to do. Because I know that's all the skill you have. The highest skill that a hater has is the lowest on the board for the elite, before the best people, for the people with the positive aura. You can't do what I do. So enjoy. But I say this to you. I share these two testimonies with you today just to paint a beautiful picture of the point and the reasoning behind the cast. The reason why we do this is, you know, we're overturning pessimism and we're instituting optimism, positive energy, and bright hope for the future. And that's what we do here. That's the goal. And that's what this podcast is all about. Let us become sharper. Now, by myself today, but I did come with a topic. You know, we got a destination we got to go to. We got somewhere we got to be. So this weekend, I was at home with my big mama, and we were watching a movie. What we do is we wait for the movie times, and in the interim of before, let's just say the shower would come on, or in the interim before power would come on, we watch whatever's on cable until that time comes, you know, just watching. And we ended up watching The Five Heartbeats. For all those who are not familiar with The Five Heartbeats was Eddie Kane, Duck, JT, Dresser, Jimmy. These were the characters. I think Big Red, these are the characters of The Five Heartbeats. I believe that The Five Heartbeats were modeled in, you know, a fictional group, but modeled after the Dales, I believe. But that movie was on. So I was sitting there watching the movie, and that's when the topic hit me. I said, wow. So let me lay it on you. In the movie, The Five Heartbeats, Duck had a young lady, a girlfriend, in that movie. And he was chasing her for some time in the film. He was chasing her. She didn't want to have nothing to do with him. And when he become Five Heartbeats, the vapors, however it worked. She had a change of heart. I'm not going to talk about it. She had a change of heart. So in the film, he become Duck. He this big songwriter. They got records. They got gold plaques. They got Cadillacs. They got cribs now. So she has her change of heart. They hanging out. They dating. Whatever. So Duck is sitting at the keyboard with Dresser, and Dresser say, "What's wrong with you, man?" And he said, "You know, you look like you lost your best friend." And he states that I think Tanya was her name. I think Tanya's having an affair on me. She cheating on me. He said, "What?" He said, "Yeah, with Choir Boy. He said, "Nah, not Choir Boy." So the whole time, JT had been using Choir Boy to relay messages to Tanya about her brother
once they stated that they were engaged, they were going to be married. Now, here's where the topic come in. The night that Doug went to the hotel room, and Tanya was in the room with JT, and he was stating, "You can't marry my brother. You don't love him because you love me. I've been with you, and you need to tell him." And she says, "I can't." Now, we know that the brother was wrong. Or was he? I don't know how y'all wrong. I don't know how y'all wrong. We know that the brother was wrong, or was he? We know that Duck was a pretty square guy, Robert Townsend. He was a pretty square guy in the movie. You know, he had a hard time with women, you know, kind of two left feet kind of guy. But he was a great songwriter who came into his own. So now we got the brother, we got Duck, and then we have Tanya. The question is, was Tanya wrong for accepting Duck's proposal? Was she wrong for saying, "I'm going to marry Duck"? Knowing that her and JT had a history, was Tanya wrong, or was she right? The reason why this is even a question is because they say that the past is the past, and they also say that love is blind. When they were having a conversation in that hotel room, JT stated, "Because I've been with you." But Tanya said, yeah, "I do love you, JT, but I'm in love with Duck." Which there is a difference between loving somebody and being in love. Is the properties and the qualities of being in love more powerful than the past? Was Tanya right, or was she wrong? Was she right for, because he had to propose, was she right for saying, I will marry you? Or should she have said, "I love you and I'm in love with you, but we can't get married"? Which one should she have done? Now, that's the topic. The only one on the panel today is me. So I'll give my answer. My answer to that topic was no. I don't think she was wrong. Now, I do think that she should have had a talk with him instead of concealing the fact from him. She should have told him, "Listen, before we go any further, this is what it is. You know, me and your brother back in the day used to date, since they always run on that date. We used to date back in the day, but it didn't lead to anything. And the fact of the matter is, you're the one that I love and I'm in love with, rather." And then they should have went from there. But the way things occurred, she concealed the fact. She still would tell him, even though JT was encouraging her, "Look, just tell him about it." So he was even willing to overlook, although he objected to them being married, he still stated, "You need to let him know." So my opinion is, with her letting him know, with her stating to him, "Listen, this is what it is," I feel that they still could have got married. That's just my opinion. Now, I'm leaving this on the floor for you to give your opinion on this very, very overlooked topic and subject matter that we all kind of let slip by us. Although, like I say, I was just watching the movie and it just popped in my mind. So I want to bring it to the panel to discuss it, because that's what we do. We bring ideas, you know, we bring all kind of topics in here to this podcast, but this is one of them. So check that one out. Just have a little conversation about it. It's a little silly one. It's like one to just get you going, but sometimes you need to smile. You need to laugh. I'm living in times right now where I really need to smile and I really need to laugh. But that being said, I'm glad that you guys tuned in. I'm glad that you guys come out to check this podcast out. So we're going back to all the supporters. I want to say something to my support system. All cash is verified. All cash is verified. The support system has been doing an amazing job at helping me and sustaining me, as well as the cast, the podcast, and as well as supporting the atmosphere. You know, like I said before, I try to work hard at maintaining and keeping an atmosphere of excellence and an aura of excellence. This is my part of the culture. So not only from the behalf of the podcast, I would also like to thank my supporters personally for supporting my part of the culture. You also have yours. You know, the part is a very, very important thing. And it's something that I want to bring out to the forefront and put to a level where it's not a behind the scenes kind of thing. It's like out in the open where we can acknowledge it and we can see it. And it's something that we can work on together. That's part of becoming sharper. To my brother, Reno going to be back on the cast, man. You know, Reno been really, really busy, but we got some things cooking up. You know, we had another topic that we had set, and we're actually going to do that one next show, where we have the whole panel together. You know, we assimilate here for the next go around. But outside of that, you know, I'd like to thank you for tuning in. I want everybody out there to be safe. And when I say be safe, I really, really mean that. Be safe. Because there's a lot of people out there that's not living by the G code. There's a lot of people out there that even hate the G code. But I got the G code activated. And I made a PSA earlier. My brother, G the Barber, I'm going to have G come on the show and do a podcast. I'm going to have G the Barber pull up. Juice Barbershop, I'm going to have G pull up to the cast. And we did a PSA about, and the PSA was about speaking up. You know, it's about, the phrase of it was home. That was like the theme of it, home. What I was saying when I was talking about home was, for all of the, my reach is most powerful amongst the barbers. And what I was speaking to, everybody, but specifically the barbers and the entrepreneurs, you know, the stylists, the people in that world. You have a home. And I'm not talking about a physical living home. I'm talking about there's an atmosphere that has been created. I've honed this atmosphere. I worked hard on this atmosphere. I've put my all into this atmosphere to make sure that I can provide it where we'll always have a home to go to when you need to talk. A safe space, a judge-free zone, somewhere where you're allowed to come and completely, you know, express what you're going through. You know, you don't have to go all the way if you don't want to. But if you chose to, that's fine. But do not suffer in silence. Do not say to yourself, but and buy the lie that nobody understands me. I don't have nobody to talk to. I might as well just give up. Or there's no place in this world that I can go. That's not true. There's a community. And there is an exact atmosphere and a physical location that you can come to. And that was the message that I said then. And this is the message that I say now. I want to make my point powerful to you. I want to resonate with you. I want to let you know that I mean what I'm saying to you. Come see me. And if you can't come to see me as the physical, or you can also go to @CJ the Clipper Man and do the DM or the Instagram phone call. But do not suffer in silence. Don't believe no lie that nobody tell you and no lie that you got in your mind. Communicate. It sounds cliche. You heard it before. What we're talking about now, here and now. Communicate. That's what I want you to do. Be safe out there. Know that CJ loves you. And let us become sharper.